Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Friday, December 9th. Do you love Jesus? Before you answer, let's listen to today's podcast. It helps you understand the one thing that demonstrates desire for God above all else.
Those apostles who surrounded the Lord Jesus Christ were men who had a passion to obey him. And beginning in this fifth chapter of Acts, we see a passion for God demonstrated by these apostles, which I'm sure God wants demonstrated in the life of every single one of us. So beginning in chapter 5, this is the passage in which Ananias and Sapphira have dropped dead as a result of disobeying God. And then, of course, the Bible says in verse 12, "And at the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly being added to their number." What was happening was, in verse 15, that people who had sick friends and relatives were bringing them out, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Of course, this stirred up the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Bible says in the last part of verse 17, they were filled with jealousy. And so they had the apostles put in public jail. Verse 19, "But an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, 'Go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life.' And upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach, so they didn't waste any time." And of course, what happens as they began to teach, the Bible says that in verse 25, "But someone came and reported to them," that is the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the rest, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." So they haul them into court again. And so in response to what happened, the Bible says in verse 28, they said, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He's the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we're witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So when they heard this, of course, they were immediately smitten with conviction. And so the Bible says, as a result, Gamaliel stands up and gives a little dissertation. And the result is, in verse 40, "They took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus, and then released them." Look at verse 41. "So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they'd been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Why? They had a passion to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, who was their resurrected Lord. Now, I want you to listen carefully, because you who are parents need to instruct your children very, very early in life on the whole issue of a passion to obey God. All of us adults need to examine very carefully. Do we just like obeying him at times? Do we just have a desire? Do we just want to? Or do we genuinely have a passion to obey him? What I want to share with you is very practical. Not only will it be a method of developing a passion, but also a way to evaluate that passion and, of course, the results of it. Now, it would be easy if we could say, now, from this point on, just start obeying God. Just have a passion to obey God. No one can issue that command to us, and no one can give you and me a passion to obey. Now remember that a passion is not just a desire, but it is a strong, intense, overwhelming emotional desire that is something that dominates and governs, something that permeates and saturates and influences and impacts every single aspect of our life. A passion to obey Him. So what I want us to see here is this. It is something that evolves in our life. It is something that develops in our life. It is an attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ that doesn't simply come with salvation, though that's the beginning. But it is an evolutionary process. It is a progression. It is the development of a strong, ever-growing, ever-intensifying desire and hunger and thirst and yearning to obey Him that dominates and controls and saturates every aspect of our life. So where does it begin? And what I want you to see is it begins on the very lowest level. That is the very foundation of the evolving of a passion to obey Him begins where probably most of us feel it. And then I want to bring us to the ultimate, that is the highest stage. These stages will not be the same in everybody's life. They won't be this consecutive or particular order, but they're there. And it begins with this, and I want you to jot them down. There are 10 of them. First of all, this whole idea of a passion for God, that is to obey Him, evolves. First of all, the first stage is a fear of the consequences of disobedience. When you and I are growing up and we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, one of the first things that we learned or should have learned is to obey God, because to fail to obey Him will bring very disastrous consequences in our life. And so the beginning stage is a fear, the fear of the consequences of disobedience in our life. As we see the result of the consequences of disobedience in someone else's life. So it begins with fear. Somebody says, well, that's not a very good motivation. Yes, it is. Listen, it's better to obey God out of pure fear than not to obey Him at all. Because God understands that fear is the beginning. That's where we get in as beginners to obey Him, first of all, because we fear. Secondly, a commitment to obey Him. That is, the passion to obey Him evolves. And at some point, we make a commitment. Lord Jesus, I want to obey You. I acknowledge that You're the Lord of my life. I acknowledge that You have the right to govern and to guide my life, that You have the right to call the plays in my life, and therefore I choose to make a commitment to be obedient to You. And sometimes that commitment we understand, and sometimes we don't understand the consequences of that kind of a commitment, but that's part of it. And so at no area and no place here do we suddenly reach some pinnacle, but it is an evolving process that goes on in our thinking as we think in terms of obeying Him. Number three, an increasing knowledge of Christ. That is, as you and I begin to obey Him, our knowledge and understanding of who Jesus Christ is, who He is in us, who we are in Him, what He's all about in life, His purposes, His goals. As we begin to increase in our knowledge and understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, our hunger, our passion to obey Him will increase likewise. Number four, then somewhere along the way, we develop a desire for God's best. That is, we're not satisfied with just what the world has to offer. We develop a hunger for God's best. And my friend, when you begin to want God's best, naturally, that's going to be related to obedience, because you soon discover, as I obey Him, something very good happens in my life. As I choose to disobey Him, somewhere along the way, it becomes very evident that we suffer. And so the desire to want God's best is a stage and a part and an element in the evolutionary process of developing a passion to obey Him. Number five, and that is faith in His promised blessings. That is, as you and I begin to read the Scriptures, here's what happens. We begin to say, well, here's what God promised if they would do this. And they did this, and here's what God did. And so what we begin to realize is in the Scriptures, God makes promises of blessing to His children when they obey Him. And also, He warns them, admonishes them of the consequences of disobedience. So first of all, we see that in the Word. Before long, we begin to track that in our own life. We say, wait a minute. Here's what God asked me to do. Here's what God challenged me to do. But here's what I did, and here was the consequence. Now, here's what God challenged me to do. That's what I did, and this is the consequence. So what happens is we begin to develop a faith in the promised blessings of God, that if we obey Him, He will bless us. Listen, this is an irrevocable principle of Scripture. That is, every single act of obedience is rewarded. Otherwise, God would be in debt to us. When you and I obey Him, God rewards us. We don't get all the rewards down here. Some of it we're going to get when we get to heaven. But reward and blessing always follows obedience to Him. Then, number six, which is similar to that, and that is the recognition of past blessing following our obedience. As we develop a faith in Him, then what happens? Then we develop what? We're able to trace back and look back and see what God is doing in the process. That is, He is challenging us to be obedient. We obey Him and He blesses us in return. Then number seven, that is a realization that it is always wise. Somewhere along the way, we begin to realize, you know, it's really always wise to obey Him. Somehow, we think at times, well, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. I know this is what God says, but at this point, here's what I'm going to do. And you and I know in our heart, there is no way to improve on God. There's no way in the world for God to tell us to do something, and we come out with a better idea. Listen, you can't improve on infinite wisdom. And so part of the process, this evolving process, is somewhere along the way, we begin to realize it is always wiser to obey God. Then, if you will jot down, number eight, that is the encouragement of others. One of the stages in this evolving process of a desire or a passion to obey Him is the encouragement of other people. Then, number nine, another part of the evolving process is our concern for our testimony. That is, we have the privilege of having an impact on someone else's life, and so that too becomes an influence in, and a part of the evolving process of developing a passion to obey Him. You think about the kind of impact that you as a mother, you as a father can have upon your children. Very early in life, listen, not only are you saying, son, above everything else, I want you to obey God. If you don't do anything else, just obey God. Don't do what I tell you to do. You do what God tells you to do. If a child hears that over and over and over and over, what happens in that little mind and that developing mind is that they see, first of all, that their dad, their mom reverences God. Acknowledges God, that mom and dad are being obedient to God. And if mom and dad are being obedient to God, there must be some reason. Then you get them in the Scriptures. They see what's going on in your life. They hear you talking about obeying God. And what happens? Something very, very strange happens. And what it is you set the sense of direction because of your concern. I believe every parent wants to be a good testimony to their children. We want to be a good testimony and encouragement and a witness to other people who are in the process of trying to make very difficult decisions in their life. And when you own your job and your business and your home, you make a very difficult decision that is a decision to obey God. I guarantee you somebody out there else is watching and looking to see what you do. So they'll decide, well, now, if I were in that kind of a situation, what would I do? Then they see God honor your obedience. Then what happens? The next time they get in a similar situation, they say, well, I remember what happened. He obeyed God or she obeyed God, and that's what God did for them. I'm going to do the same thing. That becomes a part of the evolving process in this whole idea of developing a passion to obey Him, a strong, overpowering, sensitive desire to be obedient to Him. That desire to dominate and to control, permeate, saturate, influence, impact every single aspect of our life. And then number 10. And this is the last one, and I want you to see where we've come from. Number 10 is love and devotion to Christ. This should ultimately be the final and ultimate motivation for all of our development of a passion to obey Him, that we love Him. That should be it. But look where we've come from. First of all, we began down here on the lowest stage, the lowest level of obeying Him because we fear Him. That is because we fear the consequences. But we have graduated and we have evolved and we have moved up the ladder to now. Our motivation is not fear of the consequences, though we still understand that. But now our motivation is we just love Him. We love Him for who He is. Therefore, our passion to obey Him is motivated above everything else simply because He is Christ. Because of who He is, and our love and devotion and loyalty to Him is all the motivation we need for developing and for having a passion to obey Him. So somewhere along the way in that list of 10 stages or steps or elements, you find yourself. Are you still down here obeying Him because you're scared not to? Or is it deep down inside that you have seen the consequences in other people's life as well as your own? And have you come to the place that you say, well, you know, it makes no difference whether anybody else ever knows or not. I'm going to be obedient to God simply because I love Him for who He is. It is an evolutionary process. And my friend, listen, as a parent, we should get that process going very, very early in the life of our children. And then you and I, as their parents, can encourage that and bring them through step after step as we interpret what's going on in their life. And as the process begins to evolve, God will begin to grow and to build into them as well as into ourselves a passion to be obedient to Him that is overpowering everything else. Every other influence in our life, the question is, can I do this, be this, go there? Can I have this relationship and be obedient to Almighty God? Now let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever said in your life, Lord Jesus, I choose to be obedient to You regardless of the consequences. I'm going to do what You say do no matter what anybody else says or what happens. Or are you one of those persons who has said, well, I want to obey God. Listen, want to, and making a commitment to do it is entirely different. You one of those persons who've said, well, yes, I'm going to be obedient to Him. But you already in your mind have set limitations. And so you've drawn a line out here and you said, well, I'm going to obey God except when I can't see my way clear, then I'm not sure I'm going to do it. Or if He requires too much, I'm not certain that I'm going to do it. Or if I'm afraid, or if, you know, if I don't think I can do it. And what we do is we subconsciously draw a line. We subconsciously decide what our reservations are going to be, what our limitations are going to be. And I want to ask you a very, very sobering question. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, where did you ever get the idea that you had a right to draw a line on Christ and to tell Him that you're going to obey Him up to a certain point? You're going to obey Him if. You're going to obey Him except. You're going to obey Him when. My friend, He is not the Lord of your life and my life in a practical fashion if at any time and in any place, we draw a line and say to Him, Lord, I'm willing to obey You, but I just can't handle that. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever, in your life, ever made a commitment to Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, on the basis of who You are, the virgin-born, incarnate Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord of life, and my very life, the judge before whom I shall stand one of these days and give an account of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose here and now to make a decision to obey You the rest of my life, no matter what the consequences are. Now, You and I are not going to obey Him every single time. But my friend, there is something about coming to a decision whereby You say from this point on, that which ultimately governs my decision-making process is basically one thing. What does Almighty God want me to do?
Thank you for listening to A Passion to Obey Him. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.